Well, as the sermon title probably gives it away, we're going to be looking at our Corinthians reading today for a number of reasons, not least of which is that the human body is a little closer to my attention than it is sometimes, and also the additional benefit of this being one of the, I think, very significant passages of Scripture to what it means to be in community, which is something that we are. We are right now, this community of faith. Small in numbers as it may be, is a full body of Christ, because that's how it works. And so this is what Paul is writing to. And he puts words into the sort of into the mouths, if you want to further anthropomorphize the various body parts, which I always find interesting, because I've often felt that my body talks to itself, occasionally to me. Sometimes the parts are in a conspiracy against me and all the rest of it. As I was looking at this again, I just thought part of us, sort of that hyper-rational part, wants to go, well, this is kind of silly. Of course, the body doesn't talk. And then when you realize that, how many times have you said, well, I thought of doing something, but my body just said no? I mean, we've all had that kind of thing. Whether it's something as simple as you work too hard or you didn't get enough sleep, we pay attention to what we are, which I think is why Paul chose this as his metaphor and why it's so incredibly useful. Because for all of us, we need to be reminded of the parts that we play and the parts that other people play. And in the same way that we are unlikely to, at least without limit, ignore our bodies, eventually we do have to start paying attention to the various parts and how they work, or in some cases, how they don't work. And as we look at this passage of Scripture, one of the things that becomes very clear is that this unity is something that we can't ignore, because not only is it in the physical body, I mean, a body is a unified thing by its very definition, but when we look at what Paul is talking about in the church, he talks in that first little paragraph that the body is a unit made up of many parts. So it is with Christ. And then we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body. We have come together not just because it's convenient, not just because we thought it would be nicer to be here this morning than somewhere else, but because we've been brought into this body, into this community, by God, through the Holy Spirit, through all kinds of things, through where we happen to live. Presumably we attend this church rather than, First Presbyterian in Nashville, among other reasons, because this is closer. We can just look at that as a coincidence. We can look at that as part of this great web of the Holy Spirit of God working through all kinds of situations and circumstances to put us in particular places so that we're here. It's not a coincidence. It's not just one of those things. We're part of this community because God has placed us in it. It even goes beyond this local body into being part of the Presbyterian Church, being part of the larger church, the larger body of Christ all around. It's all on purpose from God's end. And so that helps us, or at least it can help us, pay even more attention to how important it is that we're aware that we are part of this body. Because it's not just, well, I happen to be here today. It's more than that. The Holy Spirit is at work in all of the things in our lives, including where we spend our Sunday mornings or whatever day it might be. And once we can hold on to that as sort of the foundation of what we're thinking, it makes some of these other things even more urgent. The reminder that every member of the body needs every other member. And then Paul has the amusing conversation between ears and feet and all of those things, and it's so very easy for us to sort of look at it just for the amusement, if you will. But we all know what happens when one part of the body doesn't hold up its own. How many of you have had some kind of a back problem, not because you lifted something heavy, but because you hurt one of your legs and you walked funny for a while? There's an interconnectedness in the human body that we still don't fully understand. I mean, we're discovering new things all the time about how the body works together and what it does. It's the same here. It's the same in this community. It's the same in the body of Christ. There is never a time when we can just say, well, we don't need that person. Because we don't get to decide that. The body metaphor in some ways breaks down because people do move. If someone moves from here to Nashville, they should go to First Presbyterian in Nashville. They shouldn't try and come back here every Sunday, I think. But we don't get to make that decision. We're not the ones who look around and say, well, we don't need that person, whoever that is, for whatever reason. They're here on purpose. They're here. They're part of the body. For the longest time, we weren't entirely sure what some of our organs actually did. Some of them we just sort of took out almost as a matter of course, and we're not so sure that's a great idea anymore. If we've learned that about our physical bodies, it seems that it probably applies to this body as well, that we need each other. And if we need each other, one of the things that that does is that it cuts off any possibility of hierarchy. Really, it does. It's hard for us to step past that. Most of us find the world works better if we know where everything is ranked. It's just a convenient way of arranging the world. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not moral or immoral. It's just a thing. But we can run into trouble if we start thinking that these hierarchies that we just put there are really important or really significant. Because when Paul sort of turns it back upon ourselves and we think about our bodies, what's the hierarchy there? Well, as a younger person, I certainly had one. I'm sure I've spoken in the past, but I was sort of a neo-Cartesian and thought that the body's only purpose was to carry around the mind, you know, not even the brain. Good heavens. Well, that's the kind of thing young people do. I mean, we think we understand what's going on, and we have this idea, you know, this is so much more important than the other. Well, who knew that your heels were so important? Well, I know, because when, for one reason or another, you let a surgeon who knows what he's doing, well, cut holes in them and adjust things, it affects every single part of your life. You might not think it's much. I've been sitting more in the last few weeks. Even I work at a desk job, and I've been sitting so much, I'm physically bored with the act of sitting, because that's all I could do for the first few days. Sure, dismiss your heels until you need them. I was reading Walter Brueggemann talking about how, you know, we have this idea that we can do without one part or another. Go and enjoy any of your regular activities with a migraine. Some rogue blood vessel in your brain decides to get bigger than it should, and it affects everything about your body. There's no hierarchy, because every part is necessary for the functioning. It doesn't mean that everything's the same, because dispensing with hierarchy doesn't bring on some kind of peculiar uniformity. We all have different things we do. We all have different gifts. That's what this is all about. In this community of faith in which we find ourselves this morning, and we've, most of us for most of our lives, we have this wide range of gifts that we have that make this body work. And why? Because there's no hierarchy, because we depend on each other, and because those parts we're depending on care for us, because that's what holds it all together. In this community of faith, in this local representation of the body of Christ, what holds us together is mutual care, is love for each other. Because that's what Paul is talking about when he says if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. So we, maybe only for no better reason some days than our own self-interest, we shore up that other part because it affects us too. There's nothing that happens here to any one of us that doesn't have some kind of an effect on the rest of us. We rejoice with each other when we rejoice. We grieve with each other when things have gone wrong. We care for each other because each of us has things to offer that other people need. It's easy for us to dismiss our own gifts when they don't seem to be very important by that hierarchical view. And what I so often get is, oh, if only I could be like you. I think, well, you don't really know me that well, but we'll sort of put that aside. And what do you mean? Well, you know, to be up there and to do these things and all that. I said, well, if only I could be like you. And all kinds of people say, well, what do you mean? The thing that comes back to me all the time is that people with the gift of compassion see things that I don't. I don't think I'm willfully ignoring them. I think we're seeing gifts in action. And these people with gifts of compassion are the ones who come to me and say, did you know about this person who is going through this or that? And I think, no, I didn't know that. I say, well, how do you know? So, well, I just do. Sometimes it's, you know, revealed almost in that mysterious way, but often it's because people with compassion draw people to them. People in need don't very often go to people like me when they have someone who has that gift of compassion just radiates out of them. You always go to that person. That's a spiritual gift. And by hearing that and by talking about or talking with them about what they need or what's going on and then bringing it as appropriate to other places, we can pray for that person. Things can happen that wouldn't if these compassionate people didn't exercise that gift. It doesn't happen in front of everybody very often. It doesn't make it any less valuable, because it's not a matter of more or less valuable any more than any part of your body is more or less valuable at any particular time. When it's time to digest food, your digestive system is more important than your walking around system at that moment. It's not more important overall. In the church, when it's time to have somebody preaching, having somebody with those gifts is the thing that needs to be done. It doesn't make it more important. When it's time to pray, those people with the gift of faith are the ones that are most important. When we have an annual meeting, it's those people who have gifts of administration. They're the ones who are most important at that time. But not because they're more important by their very existence, because that's when they do what they do. The body of Christ functions just like ours. And unfortunately, in the fallen world in which we live, it functions just like ours. Sometimes it doesn't do what it's supposed to, and we know that. It doesn't mean that we don't keep working at it. We don't keep appreciating each other. We don't ever lose sight of the fact that we've been brought here into this community of faith for this time because God did it on purpose. He's brought this group of people, us, as his community here, his body, just like the bodies that we all carry. One body for all of us. It's actually kind of comforting to me, because the older I get, the more limits I find. Most of which I realize were there the whole time. I just didn't see them before. But even as I discover new ones, I realize that in the communities of faith of which I'm a part, there are people who will make up that difference, who provide what I cannot for other people and for me. I'm grateful for this metaphor of body that helps me understand better why we get together. Not just because this is what we do, but because this is who we are. Amen.